Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode. Welcome to my labyrinth. So today we're going to do a quick episode on this, doing commentary on this clip I found from Sam Harris. That's been going around on Twitter. Sam has been doing more content recently, from my understanding, on free will and consciousness. He's done this in the past, but he's kind of come back to it, I think. If you guys don't know who Sam, I know a lot of you know who Sam Harris is, but if you don't know who Sam Harris is, he's one of the very well-known public intellectuals. He does a lot of social commentary, cultural commentary. His claim to fame was he was like part of that really big atheist movement with Dawkins and all that back in the day as well. So that's kind of been his, he's been around a while, and I haven't done stuff on him in a while, people take his opinions on things like free will and consciousness very seriously. He's very, like I said, a popular public facing, like public intellectual. He also, the unfortunate thing is he seems to have a very undergraduate level understanding of philosophy as well. I just don't think it's really his area of expertise necessarily, but a lot of people watch and listen to his stuff, so I wanted to address it. But let's get into it and let's play the clip.
So consciousness is just the ground truth, and yet it's very hard to operationalize and study neuroscientifically or in any other way, right? And it's, you know, there are reasons why that's the case, and they're interesting, but it's just so that's consciousness. Free will is a very different case. I think free will is an incoherent idea. I mean, I very much agree with Sapolsky that we know that it doesn't exist. I mean, we know that what people think they have is an illusion, and it just doesn't make any sense. No matter how you construe causality in this universe, whether you think it's determined, everything's determined, or you think there's some bit of randomness thrown in, and or, you know, of this quantum indeterminism, some stochastic process added to the clockwork, or it's all clockwork, you know, however you tune those dials, what people seem to mean by free will makes no sense.
Okay, so I wish to address the claims made in this clip by him, right? And Sam loves to connect the ideas of free will with the ideas of consciousness, which isn't wrong. You know, it's understandable. However, I think one of the main issues I have, and that I think other people should have with his framing, is he presents his ideas of consciousness from a framework of some, you know, some form of scientific and grounded perspective. Yet, when we are relating our understanding of consciousness with something like free will versus, say, determinism, I think we're entering, and we are entering, a discussion of metaphysics. Metaphysics is something beyond scientific. That's kind of the meta part of the in the physics of the word, you know. So metaphysics operates in some form of the abstract, in philosophy at least as well. And I think we simply don't have a clear understanding of what consciousness is in its relationship with how it arises from physical processes in the brain, or why it exists at all from an evolutionary perspective. And what's fascinating is, as you might have heard in that clip, or you did hear in the clip, is in the clip I played, he admits these truths. He like admits these realities about consciousness. But if you admit these truths, if you're making these claims, making sweeping claims that free will is some sort of illusion, you're being overly simplistic, because if you have that understanding about metaphysics and the limitations of our metaphysics and our limitations around our understanding of consciousness, there's consequences of that, you know. And sure, I think we must wonder also, what do we mean by free in the phrasing of free will? You know, like a will is kind of like these drives and these desires to do things, but what is it to have those be free? Or to be free to do otherwise in some sense. But Sam often, I think, frames, as he kind of does in this clip, he frames it from the perspective that things are on a predetermined path without different variants. And people, and we're on this predetermined path, we just don't have the layers of understanding to know what that path is. Now, maybe this is plausible in some sense, but it doesn't change the reality that there might be alternative paths. And I think that's kind of what I want to get into, is I think that if you acknowledge some explanatory gap around consciousness, as Sam does, it makes it hard to settle the question of free will. And I suspect some formulation of freedom and determinism are both kind of partial truths in this equation. And, you know, take Sam, for example. He is someone that has many public-facing views. He has opinions on things and people. He makes value claims. He makes moral claims. He makes overly simplistic claims at times about all the above. You know, it's kind of what you do as a public intellectual in some sense. I think that's how you reach the masses, is you do this to some extent. But someone like Sam, who denies free will, still feels upset and betrayed if someone close to them acted dishonestly or disloyally. You know, he does that. And the determinist explanation would be that this emotional response was itself predetermined, arising inevitably from the chain of prior causes in some sense. But I think there is certainly a disconnect between this abstract philosophical view and the kind of human experience of being wronged, the visceral human experience of being wronged by another person who is perceived to have acted of their own volition. And this is, Sam operates this way. This is how he operates. And it's okay to do that. I'm not like saying this is like a hot gotcha moment, but there is something to that, right? Because I think the wholesale rejection of free will is ultimately a form of nihilism, a worldview that drains human choices and actions of meaning and moral weight. You know, if everything is simply the mechanistic playing out of prior deterministic causes, then in what sense can anything be said to truly matter in some sense? And I know this, like, it feels like this is an argument in the sense of like, this is something we wish for it to be, but I'll kind of get into why it's plausible that there is some form of will. Leaving out the free part, I think that's a too overly complicated and semantic word to include when we're talking about free will. Just talking about a will and this idea that there is a will where things maybe are not this predetermined path. So in Sam's kind of more bleak worldview, consciousness is a cruel accident, free will an illusion, and human existence kind of this nightmarish puppet show. But in a sense, I'm like, that's just the thing. We don't really have, if you admit the limitations of consciousness, you also have to admit the limitations of that being even a plausible view. And he makes like kind of these claims in that video of how it just seems so obvious. It seems so apparent. It's just the way it is. But that's just not the reality of what academic discourse is around this subject. And I think in a sense, Sam believes in this puppet show, yet seems to proudly play his part as a puppet then, while passing moral judgment to many people and things in society. It's his whole shtick. It's how he makes a lot of his money. But this connects to a point made by Nietzsche as well, who might be considered a kind of anti-nihilist. You know, Nietzsche argued that absolute truth claims and totalizing philosophical systems such as universal determinism are ultimately forms of escapism from the chaotic and kind of agnostic nature of reality, or this indifferent nature of reality. You know, I think the determinist worldview is, in a sense, too neat. It's too orderly and disempowering. And this is where I kind of like to bring in Deleuze as well, kind of, or Deleuze is, in this sense, building on Nietzsche, where he articulated a kind of philosophy of radical immanence, in which dynamic fluxes of desire and will, or inner will, bubble up through individuals, through these our connected individuals within a structure and within a society. These things bubble up, but without, you know, within these, like bubbling up within individuals, just imagine it's like without any central locus of control within that. So there's a kind of quote unquote freedom. And I put that in quotation marks on purpose because it's, you know, still the semantics of what do we mean by freedom. Since there's this like no central locus of control, there's some form of central uncertainty, central chaos, unpredictability, something that is not predetermined, you know? So without a conventional notion of a unified self or metaphysical free will, essentially. So for Deleuze, I think the traditional notion of a unified autonomous subject is an illusion in some sense, but he sees the self as a constantly shifting kind of assemblage of forces, desires, and effects, or even like wills, without a stable center. So the self can be an illusion, but that doesn't change the possibility of there being some form of will or a freedom within that will that is not predetermined. So you, let's say you take away the free subject, as Sam tries to do, you can still have some form of will that is operating. In a sense, the center of the subject, the self, the centralized self or a perception of it, the center of that cannot hold, you know? And I think to oversimplify, I'm saying that Sam hasn't read Deleuze, and it kind of shows. So in some sense, I think we find ourselves kind of like facing partial truths on this matter of free will versus determinism as the subjective experience that I think Deleuze is actually really touching on in this case will remain unexplained through much of this kind of metaphysical inquiry that we're doing with consciousness and free will, and that Sam is touching on in this clip that I'm commenting on. And maybe consciousness arises from physical processes that Sam seems to be implying, but has, you know, maybe it has irreducible subjective properties, and maybe this is an integral part of the universe. Thus, you know, from that, some form of a will that we play a part in influencing is itself a fundamental part of the universe. I'm not saying like we as subjects are aware of all these various wills, but there is influence on our will that is changing various trajectories. It's not all this predetermined path stuff. However, I would not call this free either. It's more of a generalized will of a ever-changing experience of subjects in some sense. Yeah, I hope that leaves you with some thoughts to think about. I just want to do a quick episode on this. Appreciate you all for listening, and it's time for you to get the fuck out of my labyrinth.